We move on today to Tehillim 16, Kapitel Tes Zion. This happens to be a kapitel which is often recited in connection with funerals and eulogies and the process of mourning. And as we will see, there's good reason for it. The kapitel begins with the word Michtom LeDavid. I already point out to you that Radak feels that all of these introductory phrases, Lamnatzeach, Al Hanaginos, etc., are all instructions, musical instructions of the instrument or style of music to be played. And here too, he feels that Michtom is such an instruction. However, there are many other opinions, and one of the most interesting ones is offered by Rav Shemshon Raphael Hirsch, who feels that Michtom is related to the word kesem, chof saf mem, which either means a superior kind of gold, or it denotes an indelible stain. Kesamim in rabbinic literature are stains that are blood red in color. And therefore, Rav Hirsch suggests that kesem is a kind of gold which is bright red. And therefore, David sets up this particular kapitel as a michtom, as a memorial tablet, so to speak, a golden rule, something very, very special, which he holds up for the rest of his life. Rav Hirsch points out that chapters 56 through 60, Nun Vav through Samach in Tehillim, all have the same superscription, Michtom, and that at least four of those kapitlach record David's emotions and thoughts at crucial moments of his life. I'm not going to develop that point here. You can look for yourself, and you will see how those kapitlach refer to David's war with Aram, David's difficulties with Shaul, etc. But certainly, this particular kapitel, Tes Zion, is, in Hirsch's sense, a michtom, a everlasting memorial, a tenet, T-E-N-E-T, to which David will, for the rest of his life, adhere. This is an idea of Rav Hirsch. What I'd like to do is, although I've kind of committed to you, I've entered into a contract with you, to use the commentary of Radak almost exclusively, because he conveys the most direct, most pshat-oriented approach to understanding the Kapitlach Tehillim. I'd like today instead to shift to Rav Hirsch's approach, because it is a very, very special one, and one that I think, whether it's pshat or not, it's certainly very ingenious and certainly very relevant to each of us as human beings when we pray and use this kapitel Tes Zion as our text for our prayers. In fact, Rav Hirsch is Omer Davar B'Shem Omro, and he writes that he is indebted to his teacher, Chacham Bernays, was the Rebbe of Rav Hirsch, of blessed memory, Rav Hirsch writes, because it was Chacham Bernays' idea to interpret this particular psalm this way. And here is the summary of the meaning of this psalm from Rav Hirsch's point of view. Rav Hirsch said that at one point in his life, David made an error, a theological mistake, and he very nearly fell prey to the delusion that since God is so far above the earth, he is also remote from earthly affairs. This is a common mistake. I believe in God. There's a God somewhere way up there. He created the world, etc., etc. Maybe he even gave us the Torah, etc., etc. But he doesn't really care about every little thing that I do or don't do. He's left, in the words of Hirsch, the guidance and management of terrestrial matters to the power of human beings. And therefore, David labored for a time in his life under that delusion, under that error. However, then David had the insight that no, God cares about every little thing. Indeed, God guides human beings in every little thing that they do. He's not the God of gods, as the ancients called him, Eloho de Elohaya, the God of gods, something, some supreme being. But rather, he is very, very closely involved with each of us in guiding us, in counseling us, in inspiring us, in encouraging us, or in rebuking us and scolding us for even the smallest mundane matters. As David shifts from his first mistaken view to this much deeper, more powerful and spiritual personal view, this is a transition that's happening in this particular kapitel Tehillah. So let's try it David's way. He begins by saying, Shomreini Kael, God, watch me. Take care of me. I am putting myself under your special providence. Ki chosisi voch, because I have taken refuge in you. Note again, I try to point this out every time we come across the word. We've come across it perhaps 10 or 12 times just in these 16 kapitlach. Chosisi voch. God, I've taken refuge in you. And then David has this internal dialogue. He speaks to himself. He speaks to his own soul. And he says to it, and his soul is in the feminine, because it's a weaker part of him, and the feminine is usually symbolic of the weaker part of a human being. And there is a feminine in every man, as well as there is a masculine in every woman, as we will see numerous times in Tehillim and Kisvi HaKodesh and in Chazal. But David turns to this feminine part of him, this soul inside of him, and says, Omart Lashem, that God, you said of God, you said to God, you are my master. I am willing to accept God's mastery, and I know it is my duty to fill his commandments, etc. Yes, God, you are an Adon, Adonoi Oto. But, Tovosi Balalecha, my personal happiness, my own individual welfare here on earth, Bal Olecha, does not rest with you. You are my Adon, but you're not involved in every little part of my life, so that my happiness is not something that I owe to you. But rather, Likdoshim Asher Ba'oretz Heimo, it is through those holy ones who are part of the earthly world, V'adirei, and who are powerful in this world, Kol Cheftzivom, they are the ones that fulfill all my desires. The question troubling David here is, writes Rav Hirsch, are these physical forces which help shape life completely subordinate to God's sovereignty? Do they serve to fulfill or deny our wishes only in their capacity as messengers and executors of God's will? Or do they rule our lives under their own power, uninfluenced by God? In a moment of weakness, the thought occurred to David that our destiny does not depend upon God. Yes, God is our Adon, and we owe him obedience. However, our welfare, our fate on earth, is not dependent upon God's loving care. David felt that our lives were shaped by those forces that were closer to earthly affairs and which visibly influenced this world, the Kedoshim, the Adirim. And then David continues, Yirbu atzvosom, acher mohoru, but the sufferings of those who ally themselves to another only multiply. I would not pour their drink offerings even less than blood. Uval esa eshemosom al ponoi, nor would I take their names upon my lips. For Rav Hirsch, the meaning of this pasuk is as follows. Those who would ally themselves with some other power will find that their pain of renunciation will only increase. Their drink offerings are even more repugnant to God than, or to David, than bloodshed. I would be committing spiritual suicide were I to render such homage to powers other than God. So that the pasuk means that this delusion that I had, that the world is not, my world, is not under the direct control of God, but is in control of these other forces and other powers. If I do that, then I'm doing something worse than offering pagan sacrifices. It's false. It's idolatry. But rather, Hashem menos chelki v'kosi, God is my lot, my portion, my inheritance. Ato tomich goroli, God, you guide me, you support me, you support my lot. Powerful, powerful pasuk. Hashem menos chelki v'kosi. It's not that there's some intermediary, some force of nature, some scientific law, some overlord, some spirit, some angel, some human being even, that is the intermediary through God who makes me have what I have or lack what I lack. But rather, it is directly from God. Very, very powerful. Chavolim naflu li bana'imim. Because I understood things this way, my fate was pleasant. Af nachalos shofra olai, and my inheritance also was beautiful to me. And Rav Hirsch contrasts the first part of this pasuk with the second. Chavolim, my fate, the fate that I have that's befallen me, which is pleasant. And the nachalo, the inheritance, which was shofra olai, which was beautiful to me. And Rav Hirsch writes, the fate of man is formed from two components. Number one, chavolim asher yiplulo, that which becomes his portion in life, be it sought after or not, be it expected or unexpected, those things which happen to us, whether we try to get them to happen to us, or they just happen from forces outside ourselves, that's one component of our fate. And the second component of our fate, nachalos, is the content and the configuration of life which I entered at birth, which is my inheritance, my genetics, as it were. It's almost as if chavolim is what comes through external experience and nachlo is what comes through genetic components. Both of them are pleasant to me. Both are guided by God. And as far as my inner ideas, my thoughts, my desires, my plans, my schemes, pasuk 7, Avorech es Hashem asher yotzoni. I will bless God because He gives me counsel. He's not way up out of reach. He gives me counsel. Af leilos yisiruni chil yosoi. And even in dark times, He has enabled me through my kaloyos, through my kidneys, through my guts, to be able to instruct myself. And then, a powerful pasuk, which we all know, which is a pasuk which we encounter when we go into many, many shuls. Right up front is a big sign. The Shulchan Aruch, by the way, begins with this pasuk, by quoting this pasuk. Shivisi Hashem l'negdi samid. Now I have set the Lord before me for Rav Hirsch, Lenegdi means at my own level. God is at my level. He's Lenegdi Summit. That's the experience we're supposed to have when we walk into shul. That's the experience we're supposed to have when we learn Shulchan Aruch. Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tomit. God is right there, right with me. He's my Chavrusa Chavayochol. He's my study partner. He's my companion. He's right there with me. Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tomit. Kimimini Bal Emot. For I shall be moved no more from him who is my right hand. I'm not going to move away from him. He is my right hand. Balemot. I'm not going to put a distance between me and him. He's as close to me as my own right hand. In the words of Rav Hirsch, he puts these words into the mouth of David. As for me, my conception of him now that I've learned my mistakes is different. I have perceived his presence on the level of my own earthly existence. I no longer seek him in the heights, but Lenegdi, I have set him before my eyes in everything I do on earth. Nothing here below is so small or insignificant that God would be indifferent to it. Whatever I am, whatever I wish to accomplish, lies clearly before God's eyes. I shall hold fast to this conviction, Tomid, forever, and never again allow myself to a moment of weakness, lo emot. And therefore, because now I've come to this new realization of God's closeness to every teeny part of me, lochein samach libi vayogel kavodi. Therefore, my heart is glad, my kavod, my glory rejoices, af besori yishkon lovetach, even my flesh will also rest in safety. I want to point out here something which is my own realization, and I don't have the answer for it. Earlier, I quoted to you a distinction which Rav Hirsch makes between gila and simcha. Gila being related to the word kol, kufav lamed, which means a vehement, vociferous was Hirsch's word, vociferous joy, external, dramatic joy, active joy, and simcha being related to the word somach, tzomach, meaning a blossoming, slow growing, simmering kind of joy. And Rav Hirsch said that therefore you always find first gila and then simcha. First there's a temporary, transient, emotionally expressive joy, and then there's the long-term tranquility joy. First gila, then simcha. Ogil v'yesmach. No gila v'nismecha. Here, in this pasuk, Tesayin 9, we have it reversed. First simcha, then gila. First the quiet, tranquil rejoicing, and then the loud, dramatic, expressive joy. So it's a reversal, and Rav Hirsch does not, at least not on this passage, does not comment on this, and I wonder why. I leave it to you to determine why here that the sequence of verbs is transposed from the ordinary sequence, and instead of first gila and then simcha, you have first simcha and then gila. But David comes to a conclusion of this pasuk and says, Ki lo sa'azov nafshi lish'ol, lo sitein chasidcha liroshochas. You will not abandon my soul to the grave, nor will you suffer your devoted one to see destruction. This pasuk is especially comforting at moments of grief, at moments when one is confronted with death, that God will not abandon us to the grave, that even in the netherworld, in the world beyond, we will not see shachas, we will not see utter destruction, but rather, Todi eini orachayim, God, you make me know the path of life. Sova samochos esponecha, the fullness of joy in your presence. Ne'imos bimincha netzach, pleasantness, bliss from your right hand forever and ever. So I've shared with you one approach. I've deliberately omitted the Radak's approach, which is very different. can look into it on your own, but shared with you Rav Hirsch's approach to Kapitel Tesayin. As we see inside of David's own intellectual growth, own spiritual growth, from his concept of a God who is distant but powerful and must be obeyed, to his realization that God is so near that he's inside of me almost, and he's the one who guides me and teaches me, and to whom I can turn at all times for everything in my life, no matter how petty or trivial it might be. The closeness of God is David's conclusion. This is the end, then, of this approach to Kapitel 16.